Now, we have been talking about it almost endlessly here on Lunchtime Live around the whole issue of smartphones and child protection online and the safety of children and what can or cannot be done. And of course, also about the idea of the digital age of consent. What age is it reasonable for your kids to have unfettered and unchecked access to the internet? And cybersecurity expert Dr. Mary Aiken has criticised the government plans for the digital age of consent to be made to be 13 years of age. She has said that we should go online, we should go in line with the EU, who have made it 16 around Europe when it's introduced in May. She, along with Professor Barry O'Sullivan, who is Deputy President of the European Artificial Intelligence Association, addressed the Oireachtas Joint Committee on Children and Youth Affairs yesterday, and they both join me now on the programme. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Mary, if I could come to you first, if you don't mind. And Mary, of course, is an advisor to the European Cyber Crime Centre at Europol. And in fact, you know, has had people based on television programmes about what she does in terms of her knowledge of the dangers of the internet. But Mary, you feel that 13 is not the reasonable age for kids to have as at their digital age of consent. Explain that to me.
Okay, so the first thing, there's a lot of confusion about what the digital age of consent is. It is not about when children go online. It is the age at which children can consent to enter into an agreement with, for example, social media companies, where the child is giving up their data.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a contractual issue, effectively.
Okay.
So kids can go online, do their homework, look at encyclopedias, but these social media companies or online service providers delivering apps, that's something else. So the EU has set the digital age of consent at 16, which is very prudent because it means 15, 14 and 13-year-olds simply have to say to their parents, are you cool with me being on Instagram or Facebook or using WhatsApp or whatever? Ireland has decided to lower the digital age of consent to 13.
Okay.
And this is what we are objecting to, because we don't think a 13-year-old is incapable of giving contractual informed consent at 13.
Okay. So can I ask you, Mary, if 13 becomes our digital age of consent, if I have a 13-year-old and I don't want them to go online and give their information and their data, as you say, to these social media platforms, is my 13-year-old, despite me not wanting them to do it, perfectly within their legal rights to do it because now they have achieved majority in terms of the eyes of the law in this country?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think if parents really understood what this issue was about, they would be up in arms about the issue, because this is enabling 13-year-olds to parent themselves.
Okay. I actually don't think parents have any notion that that's what this digital age of consent means. I think if they thought that they said to their kid who's 13 or 14, no, I don't want you on this platform at the moment, I'm not happy with it, and the kid says, well, actually, I'm above the age of consent now, you can't stop me, and legally I'm entitled to, I think parents would be horrified.
I think they will, and that's why Barry and I have been on the road saying, look, we're scientists, we understand these issues, we spend our time immersed in legislation, so we understand the issues. And we don't think that parents understand this issue. But it's not too late. Pick up the phone to your local TD and say, I'm not giving you my firstborn, and I'm certainly not giving you my 13-year-old child.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm completely in agreement with you. Barry, just to bring you in here, this is Professor Barry O'Sullivan, Deputy President of the European Artificial Intelligence Association. You heard what Mary said there, that parents don't, you know, realise what this is about and what's involved in this. Isn't that part of the big picture problem here in general, that parents don't necessarily understand this issue as well as they maybe should if they were going to be fully responsible in a way that we might like them to be for protecting their children online? They simply are out of their depth.
Yeah, I think there's two aspects to that question. I think the first is, in terms of the digital age of consent, there was a consultation exercise that took place in late 2016. I don't think Irish parents were... Irish parents certainly haven't ignored this. I just think they were not aware of what the consultation was all about. So I suppose there's that issue that, you know, simply from the point of view of the legislation that's currently going through the Oireachtas, I don't think parents have been brought into the discussion in an informed way, and that's not their fault. I think the second question, the second part of your question, you know, more generally, are parents adequately armed with the information that they need to understand the consequences of their children being online? Mm-hmm. The answer to that is no. And you know, I'm not the dumbest of people when it comes to technology. You know, I'm a career academic in technology and computer science, and there are often things that I find myself talking to my kids about, and they tell me, you know, have you seen this latest thing? And I'm often sort of surprised that kids are doing what they're doing online. So you know, if I can be confused, then you know, certainly you know many others can be confused. Yeah. And I think we need a program of education and so on, but that you know helps parents understand the consequences. But not just that, we need to have technology that's going to help verify the age of a child online. We need to really grapple with this idea of, you know, kids need to be in an environment that's age appropriate. And, you know, issues like the digital age consent, all of that structure needs to be there to support parents.
Yeah.
And when that structure, so that's one side of the argument. And the second side of the argument is, well, you know, we need to be educating, we need to be going out there and helping people being more safe online.
Yeah. Mary, it seems to me that one of the big arguments, and in fact, the text line would bear this out, Ed says, Ciara, no matter what age you set the digital age of consent, the kids will get around it if they want to when it comes to this stuff. They run rings around us all. It seems to me one of the big arguments against raising the digital age of consent is that it's going to be hard to do or hard to enforce. That seems to me to be one of the main arguments that people use against it. Is that a valid argument?
It's a completely ridiculous argument because it's hard to stop underage drinking, but we don't give up on it. We don't say, you know, it's asking for ID, going into pubs, it's all very difficult. You know, it's a ridiculous argument. Just because social media platforms have got away with allowing under 13s on their sites to date doesn't mean that it's right.
Yeah.
And the thing that I find most worrying about the whole scenario is that we who work in education and those working in sort of the statutory area expect parents to get involved with parenting children online. And the very thing that could give parents visibility in terms of what their children are doing, the state are taking that away from them. So if your 13 or 14 or 15-year-old had to say, I want to use this platform or that form, at least the parents knows what they're doing. But now the parents are going to be in the dark, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds running rampant on whatever platform they want to use, and parents held responsible.
Yeah, but the parental responsibility is a big issue, isn't it?
There's a second aspect to that, actually, that's worth sort of emphasising. So what Mary said is absolutely right. But there's another issue with the digital age of consent, and that is, well, this is the age at which the notion of valid consent by a child can be given. So if indeed a younger child is online, then there needs to be... social media companies need to be as responsible as parents, but also the companies should be penalised, and there are significant penalties under the legislation that's coming in when kids are too young.
Yeah.
And so we shouldn't take, yes, it's a challenging problem, but we shouldn't ignore it just because it's a challenging problem. There are easy solutions to this problem.
Well, we'll get to that in a second, but just one of the other things that's coming on the text line, someone says they may be legally entitled to go online, but they are until they're 18, their parents' word is final, and that's Ramon. But that isn't the case, because I know from my own practice in medicine that 16-year-olds can come in and access contraception without their parents' permission, and the parents may not want them to do so, but they are legally entitled to do so themselves. And that, I presume, is the same as this.
And Ciara, you know why the age of medical consent was set at 16? Because it was deemed in debates, extensive debates, that 15-year-olds downwards were not capable of giving informed consent in terms of their physical health, you know, deciding to go on the pill or whatever.
Yeah.
So we now have a whole body of research that shows the potential negative impact of social media platforms on the mental health of young people.
Mm-hmm.
So how can they possibly give consent for something that negatively impacts their mental health when they can't for their physical health?
Yeah, the notion of the age of consent, I think most parents probably think that they have authority for things until the child becomes an adult, and an adult being, you know, 18 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true. You know, now, unfortunately, when you go to things like citizens' information and so on, which is a fantastic resource, you find things like, well, you know, you have to be age 18 to enter into a legal contract. But there are all sorts of exceptions to these sorts of things. And I think this is one, I think people, including, you know, parents, kids, themselves, you know, everybody is so concerned about the impact of technology on kids that we should be very slow to allow any slippage in whatever, tools that we have to ensure that parents are as involved for as long as possible, you know, and that's really why this digital age consent is so important. Now, a counter-argument that you'll sometimes hear is that, well, there's a whole cohort of vulnerable children out there who need access to preventative services and therapeutic services, but these are exempted actually under the GDPR. So, you know, we're talking about children who are just signing up to a social media platform, for example, because they want to sign up to a social media platform. And the question for parents is: Do you want your children to have the power to consent for themselves without consulting with you at age 13, or do you want to leave that as late as possible, which is 16? Now, some people might say, well, I'm not even happy with it at 16. Unfortunately, the interval that we have to play with here is as low as 16, as low as 13, and as high as 16. We can't go above 16. So, you know, unless there's a very good reason why we should be relinquishing parental control online, even for just consenting to signing up to an application, you know, we shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Can I just ask you both, and I know it's a tangential issue, it's not the same issue, but what do you think about, there have been calls for smartphone bans. What's both of your positions on this? Because my own would have been this, that over time I would have said, oh, look, you know, give them the phones, what can you do and all that stuff. But the more I think about it, the more I drill down into it, the more I worry about it, the more I think that we have made a mistake in putting a smartphone into the hand of every 10 and 11 and 12-year-old in the country.
I don't think that either of us are in favour of language like ban. I think that as academics, we prefer to make recommendations for best practice.
Mm-hmm.
My position on that issue is that a child under the age of 14 should not be given a smartphone. And that doesn't mean a parent can look at that recommendation much in the same way as we say, you know, you can't drink till you're 18.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop a parent having a beer with their son, you know, a father and son is 17. And the same thing around smartphones. The parent feels it's got a particularly mature 12 or 13-year-old, well, then they can make that parental decision. I certainly would be in favour of banning smartphones in primary school.
Yeah. So for that age group, what do you think, Barry?
Yeah, Mary and I have talked long and hard about this issue, and we both agree. And I suppose what I would just add is that one of the problems with the language of banning something is that, you know, bans don't allow you to get at the sort of underlying issues. And really what we want to sort of promote in Ireland and elsewhere is responsible smartphone use. And there's nobody that knows a child better than their parent, and so we shouldn't be taking away control from the parent, either by virtue of giving children greater rights of, say, consent, but equally we shouldn't be taking away the power of a parent in terms of telling what they can and can't do with their own child. But there needs to be guidelines. We need to address the issues of responsible use, and get people talking about what the dangers are. How do you deal with them? You know, we don't ban our children from going outside because there are dangers. You know, we teach them how to deal with the dangers that are on the street. You know, so basically cyberspace is, you know, one of the greatest streets in some sense that we'll ever experience. But with that sort of great power comes different kinds of risks, and you know, we have to get that education program.
I just think that we seem to me to be behind the curve, that, you know, we society and the world is an exciting and vibrant place in the same way that the cyber world is an exciting and vibrant place, but there are things we protect our children from till a certain age because they're out of their depth, and I think this is true of that too. But lots of people getting involved. Laura in Dublin says, and he's an IT professional, he says, we can't stop children under 13 signing up to social media as it is. Under 16 will be impossible to police. There is no chance of social media companies implementing bespoke country safeguards. You will be talking about the same issue in 10 years' time, although this is a European-wide thing. A lot of people are pro-16.
Digital consent at 16 is going to be 16 in Germany, it's going to be 16 in the Netherlands, it's going to be 16 in France.
Yes. And they will rigorously uphold that, and there will be large financial penalties for not for non-compliance.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would say watch this space.
Someone else says a lot of kids are on social media as young as 10. Half of my son's class have an account. He's in fifth class. Someone else says, what is the acceptable age for children to view hardcore porn? Because they absolutely will find it in just a few clicks. Is it 13 years? We're also joined on the line now, if you guys just stay with me though for a second, by one of our listeners who happens to be a school principal, and he is Patrick Martin, who's principal at St. Moctus in Louth National School. Patrick, thanks for talking to us. What's your view on this? I mean, you obviously have kids up until the age of 12 or 13 under your care in national school. Do they have phones? Are they using phones? Are you concerned about this whole issue? Hello, Patrick? Patrick, can't get Patrick there for a second. But I mean, you've heard some of the flavour of the texts there, that there are kids in... I have a son who is in second class and I have a son who is in fifth class. A huge amount of the kids in fifth class definitely have phones. And my son in second class has been asking for a phone too. Now, for me, the answer is simple, no. But having said that, I know he has peers and he's 8 years of age and they do have smartphones.
Yes, this is a huge problem. I think we need a culture change around smartphone use. And I think one of the greatest challenges faced by parents today is that so many other parents are giving smartphones to their kids at quite a young age. So they make that choice. But the consequence is that erodes the choice that, you know, you have, for example, in terms of not wanting to have a smartphone in the hands of your child. And so we need to sort of really start thinking about, you know, what is socially acceptable around smartphone use. I'm in the same situation as yourself. I have a daughter who constantly tells me that she wants to have a smartphone because she feels excluded from,
WhatsApp groups and all this business,
of friends and so on. But then, you know, she talks to her friends and something sort of bad happens. Not very bad, but someone gets upset and so on. And she sort of says, "Well, actually, I'm actually quite happy not to be involved in that." You know,
We were talking about this last week, and there was one parent texted in to say that they had their daughter is in a WhatsApp group and that they take the phone between, you know, at 10:30 at night or whatever, so she can't be on her phone late. But they said that they looked at the WhatsApp group that their daughter, who's in secondary school, was on, and between 12 a.m. so midnight and 2 p.m. there was 250 notifications on that WhatsApp group of people, and a lot of them were about mental health issues, somebody suffering with anxiety or stress, somebody professing to be suicidal and all this kind of stuff. I can only imagine what that's like as a 15-year-old, those kinds of messages coming in at 1 o'clock in the morning, the disturbing intrusion into your headspace that must be. It must be very upsetting and distressing for these kids. There is a real mental health sort of issue here, isn't there?
Absolutely. I think in the submission, in our opening statement to the Oireachtas Committee yesterday, which is available on the website, and we'll put it on your Twitter later on. The problem of kids not getting enough sleep because their sleep has been interrupted, or staying up, they're talking to each other. This is part of the driver in terms of all of those negative feelings. You know, if you're not going to get enough sleep, you're going to be anxious. If you're anxious and you're chronically tired, then, you know, that leads on to worse and worse things. And of course, you know, people will say things to each other online that they that they might not say to each other face to face either. So there's some of this stuff, while it's true, some of it isn't, and that whole effect is very disorientating. Mary probably has a lot to say about that.
Yeah. Look, thank you both for speaking to me today. That is Mary Aiken, advisor to the European Cybercrime Centre at Europol, and Professor Barry O'Sullivan, deputy president of the European Artificial Intelligence Association. I honestly don't think people know about what Mary and Barry were just talking about. I don't think that they know that the digital age of consent isn't just about what age do you let your kids on smartphones, or what age do you let your kids go on Facebook or whatever. It means at 13, your child is able to enter into a contract with a social media platform where their data and their information online can be mined by that platform. You're allowing your kid to enter into a legal contract at 13 that you probably aren't even aware they're doing. You don't even understand. I don't certainly understand all this stuff. And I don't think any of us want our 13 and our 14-year-olds having their own individual contracts with big business that we have no control over. It seems absolutely mad. But tons of people getting involved in this. Someone says, "Hi, the digital age of consent at 13 is stark raving mad. It's irresponsible and it is naive." Someone else says, "I don't even have a smartphone. Why would I give my child one?" Someone else says, Kira, why just talk about smartphones? Young people and children have access to the internet through laptops, tablets, gaming consoles. Many of these children have this stuff in their bedrooms. Absolutely right. I think there is a bit of a difference with smartphones, though. They're in your pocket. They're at the end of your fingertips the whole time. They never leave you be. That's the problem. They are like a digital drug. You never put the thing down. It's in your pocket the whole time. Someone else says, some ridiculous comments. I am responsible for setting the guidelines in for all in my household while they are dependent, regardless of age. I'm not talking about draconian rules, just normal, respectful things. If they don't like it, they can move out. And that's from Richard in Monaghan. I think that's slightly naive, Richard, and no disrespect to you. And of course, you're allowed to be the parent and all that stuff, but your kid is legally entitled to do some things. And if they engage one to one without your knowledge with Facebook or whatever, no laws have been broken, and that can happen. As I say, we were trying to get, and we now have one of our listeners, Patrick Martin, who is a principal of St Muchta's National School in Louth. Patrick, you have kids up until the age of 12 and 13 under your care. Is this a big issue for that age group?
Good afternoon, Kira. Can you hear me now?
Yeah? I can indeed.
100%. Listen, thanks for having me on. Of course I do. And of course they have access to phones. And it's not just phones. It's tablets and PlayStations, Xboxes. They're all capable of getting on social media from those mediums. But firstly, I'd just like to say that I'm very much in favour of introducing an age restriction for internet usage in this country. I feel parents also should be in favour of such a move. And if I could make just 2 points related to education and parental control pertaining to online safety, I'd be much obliged. Parents are under huge pressure in this country from technology advocates, and they need support. It's a societal issue and requires education, parental control and policy to try to prevent online threats and dangers to our kids. I think also as a society we need to reevaluate our obsession with the internet and our over-reliance on technology. I mean, I don't think it's making our personal and home lives any happier. And what I've seen in schools, and I've spoken to other principals about this, the rise of anxiety in our age group is frightening. You know, it really wasn't an issue 10 years ago, but it certainly is now. And I mean, I think it's very naive to think that social media and smartphone usage in particular is playing a huge role in that. So I think, you know, we need to reframe the conversation to that also. Secondly, if I may.
Go for it.
Obviously, education, obviously, is, of course, it's vital in preparing our children to use the internet responsibly.
I really wanted to ask you about this because you obviously work in education.
And
the other thing, you know, there's basically two sides to this debate. Some people, and nobody wants the kids to be in danger. So some people say ban and some people say educate. And I've talked to loads of techie people who I admit I'm a bit of a Luddite with technology. And I've said, I don't know how to do all the stuff. And they said, oh, you can Google how to make your devices safe. But equally, Mary Aiken has said, and I've read her stuff, and she's very smart cookie. She says, you can just as easily Google how to bypass the security stuff that your parents set up. And that's relatively easy to do too. Will we ever be able to be as adults and parents educated enough to outsmart our kids and technology around this? I'm not sure that we will.
I'm not sure that we will either. And listen, education, it needs to be in schools. It is in schools. There needs to be more in preparing our children to use the internet responsibly. But it's not a panacea for the more severe dangers out there. I mean, online predators, for example, and I know it's quite an extreme case, but it's the most frightening for parents, as it should be.
Yep.
You know, they appear to incorporate huge levels of manipulation and cunning.
Yeah.
And kids, particularly vulnerable ones, you know, they cannot always be expected, with all the will in the world and all the education in the world, to be able to navigate past this insidious and calculating behaviour. And you know, we really are dealing with, you know, bad behaviour by adults online.
Yeah.
And I think it's a huge call to just presume that if we teach in school, you know, how to act responsibly, that's going to solve the problem. As I said, parental control is crucial, education is crucial, but policy is also crucial. Yeah. And I mean, I suppose, once again, not to be overly dramatic, but, you know, if parents found out that a paedophile was residing or prowling near their home, they would do everything in their power to prevent that person coming in contact with their child, regardless of how well they felt their child was educated in relation to dealing with such a scenario.
And that's what the internet is.
I don't see the difference between online, you know?
Listen, thank you so much for talking to us. That is Patrick Martin, their principal in St Muchta's National School. Do you know what it is? Is we're out of our depth. It's very clear to me we're out of our depth. I was reading stats on this morning because I knew we were going to be talking about it. 1 in 10 adults in the UK in a survey were found to have sent sexually explicit messages to children they didn't know. 1 in 10. That's the level of swamp that exists on the internet for our kids. I don't know how educated your kids are. I don't know how educated you are. I don't think my family is unusual. But I am afraid of this, and I think something needs to be done. I would still think we need to put an age restriction on the whole thing. And the digital age of consent at 13 is a joke.